Good morning, everybody.
Morning,
Justice. How's everybody doing this fine Sunday? Good?
Yeah.
Well, that was real exciting. So, today we're going to start a six-week sermon series on staying positive. A couple reasons why is because this time of year, obviously, not everybody is in a positive mood because of COVID. Everything's changing. Life is different. You still can't go to the store without your mask on. They're telling everybody that toilet paper and paper towels are going to be raised their price. Anybody hear that? So go stock up. Don't go to Sam's because they're out. I went yesterday. So it's pretty interesting. So, it's an interesting world we live in. First thing I want to talk about is a couple different perspectives that you can have. Some people are more naturally optimistic, and then others are naturally pessimists. Okay? The optimistic will read a verse, and it says, "My cup overflows." And they say, "The Lord is blessing me." And the pessimist will read it, "My cup overflows. Lord, there's going to be a mess on the floor." That's the way that you look at it differently. And the differences can change your perspective every day. Let's go to the meaning, the next slide real quick. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to read this word for word because it's important. What does it mean to be an optimist, a pessimist? What are the differences between them? Optimists are people who have a general positive outlook on life. They tend to see the good side of most situations and expect things to work out for the best. Pessimists are people who have a more negative outlook. They tend to focus more on the problems and challenges of a situation and expect more negative outcomes. How can the optimism help you navigate life's ups and downs? Are there times where might be an appropriate response or help you deal with life challenges? Why or why not? Okay, there's a lot of people in this world, and I'll be the first one to tell you that I like to look at myself as not a pessimist. But let's be honest, we all don't want to be a pessimist, right? We don't want to be like that. We don't want to look at things negatively. We want to look at things in a positive way because that's what God does, correct? So as Christians, we sit here and we're like, that is what we do. We are always optimists. Well, that's not the case. Because I can tell you right now, there's things that happen in my life, there's things that happen everywhere in the world that makes you become a pessimist. And as humans, that's the way we go. Sad thing is that it's actually the devil working in us. You know, all over the world today, it seems like people are looking for a reason to be critical. You know, they're looking for a reason to be negative. It's just the way the world is. And like last sermon, we talked about generations and the way that they get brought up and how they want now and they want this. But depression is even more of an issue in that generation than what it was back in the baby boomer days. Correct? Not necessarily. Because the problem was back in the baby boomer days, you didn't have Facebook to write it on. You didn't post it on social media. You didn't send out a mass text. You know, everything is more live stream and more available for everyone to look at than what it was back then. So the times were probably the same. There was different things that you were dealing with, but it's the same kind of thing that we're dealing with now. It's just you don't see it as much. Okay, so the reality is there are a lot of things going on in the world, and there's no doubt about it. We as Jesus followers are not going to put our heads in the sand, and we're going to pretend like there's nothing wrong. We're going to attack it, and we're going to go forward. In Proverbs 11:27, Solomon said this, "If you search for good, what will you find? You will find favor. But if you search for evil, what's going to happen? It's going to find you." Okay? If you search for evil, what's going to happen? It is going to find you. If you're out looking for something that's bad, you're going to find something that's bad. If you're out looking for good, it says here, what will you find? You will find favor. Well, you'll also find bad, but it's your decision to find the bad or find the good. And every situation is like that. I have quite a few different reasons on what I'm going to do to say to become an optimist, to have an optimistic view. Because you have two ways. You either go optimistic or you go pessimist. That's just the way it is. You know, if you want to find the negative, you want to be miserable, you can be a pessimist. That's fine. What's funny to me is there are probably some of you already in this room that have decided that you do not like this message series. I've barely got it out, and I'm on page 2 of my sermon series, and you're like, oh no, here we go. You know, but the funny thing to me is it doesn't matter. Because I want you to understand that it's just not coming from me, because we are to have more of an optimistic view. Now I'm going to give you some reasons, and all of these reasons are from Romans 8. So this week I would recommend to look into Romans 8, because it is going to give you a lot of information over the next 5 to 6 weeks. Reason number one, I'm optimistic from Romans 8 is because my sins are forgiven and my eternal is secure, I'm absolutely and completely eternally optimistic because my sins are forgiven. Okay, verse 1 and 2, Paul said, therefore, there is now somebody with a smile on your face. Okay, hold on. There is no condemnation from whom? Not for everyone, but for those who are in Christ Jesus, they are condemned to be happy. Correct? We are supposed to be happy followers of Jesus. But the sin and the devil will bring us down. Reason number two, the reason why I'm optimistic is because Jesus is at the right hand of God praying for me. I didn't realize this, but in verse 34 says, Jesus Christ who died, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and he is praying for us. Verse 34 in Romans 8. That is really encouraging. Very encouraging. Because not only is your church praying for you, your leaders are praying for you, and everybody in the church is praying for you, but Jesus is at the right hand of God praying for you. Number three, I'm an optimistic because my future victory is greater than my present pain. My future victory is greater than my present pain. My future victory. That sums up the entire Christianity. My victory. My future victory. In verse 18, it says, I consider our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Some of you may say, well, it's easy for Paul to say that. Was it? It's easy to say it, right? I can stand up here all day long and tell you, hey, it's okay. Our future victory is better than what you're going through right now. That does absolutely nothing to help you unless you understand it and you believe it. Has anybody ever wondered what would happen if you come into church and somebody actually gave you an honest answer? You know, like, hey, how you doing? Because when people ask you, hey, how you doing? Oh, not bad. We all say it, right? Huh, not bad. Well, what if somebody comes up to you and says, horrible? You'll be like, I don't want to talk to that person. I don't know what to say. You know? But that's the way it is. We all try to put up that front, that happy front. We all try to be realistic, and we look at it as being nice, and we kind of push everything to the side and don't share anything with anybody. And the next thing you know, we're mad because we feel like nobody cares. And then the next thing you know, you don't think anybody cares about you. But Paul, through the midst of all of his troubles, he wrote, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that is revealed in us. That's pretty deep to look at that. You know, number four of why I'm an optimistic is I'm an optimistic because my mind is filled with the peace of God. Because my mind is filled with the peace of God. Romans 8, 6. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Life and peace. You know, for those of you who have been born into the family of God, you don't have to dominate by your sinful nature because we are forgiven. God is there for us. He is the one that's condemning. He is taking care of the devil for us. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about because you have been in the middle of a horrible situation. How are you going through it? People ask you, how are you getting through this? You know what? I'm not. That's what people will say. How are you going through this tough situation? They'll be like, oh, well, I'm following God. He's making me happy. Okay, how exactly are you going through it? I'm not. That's what people will say. Because they put up that front. They tell you God's going to do this because that's what we do as Christ believers. We tell them, but inside, they're crumbling. They're absolutely crumbling. And it's sad to see that. Because as Christians, we should be more intact with people. And I'm the first one to be guilty of it. Like if somebody says, oh, I'm happy, I'm good, and everything's good. And then the next day, they just don't act right. And then you don't ask them because you already asked them if they were good or not. But deep down, there's something wrong. They're feeling wrong. Minding your business and caring for people are way different streets. Okay? Like, minding your business can be a good thing, and some people would rather that. But some people still want that loving touch of a Christian. They still want to know that they're being cared for, that they are being loved. And being an optimistic is good, but when half the world is probably pessimists, that's hard to combat. It's hard to be the only optimistic in the room. It's hard to show the love of God to pessimists that no matter what you tell them, they're going to come back with a response of like, oh, really? Well, where does that say? Does it also say this? You know, they don't look at things the same way. You know, number five reason that I'm optimistic is because if God is for me, who can be against me? If my heavenly Father is for me, who can be against me? You know, the God who says all things are possible with him. I'm an optimistic because I believe that God is for me. You know, he plans to bless me, to prosper me, and not to harm me. What he does and changes and what he does in me is for my own good. It's not the way I like it sometimes. I don't always agree with what he puts in front of me, but that's not my call. That's God's call. I just kind of go along with it. It doesn't seem like it's something that is realistic. But you know, God is so much bigger than our realistic minds that it's just a process. You know, God has plans to bless you and to prosper you. And therefore, who can be against you? You know, number six is a huge one. And it's because God's Spirit helps me in my weakness. You know, I'm an optimistic because when I am weak, His Spirit makes me strong. You know, Paul says this. He says, who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. That's where some of us are right now. We're waiting on God to be faithful to a promise. In verse 26, it says, in the same way, what does the Spirit do? The Spirit helps us in our weakness. You know, the Holy Spirit helps us when we're weak, whenever we are down. But what does the Spirit do when we're not down? What does the Spirit do when we're not feeling bad about something or we're going through a trial or a tribulations? What does the Spirit do? I believe that the Spirit is in you all the time to help you build up. But if you have nothing to build yourself up on, what is your job? It's to build up other people. Right? Let's pretend like we have so much Spirit that we've already built ourselves up, so we're going to start building up other people. That's what we're supposed to do as Christians, right? That's what we do. That's what Jesus did. We'll just go out and do it right now. What do you think? It's just that easy, isn't it? No, because we, in our mind, in the world, and as humans, we think of, well, I'm going to need help one day, so I'm going to go help this person, then they'll help me back. And then they owe me, or this, that, and the other. But we don't do it for the good. There's always an underlining agenda. You know, the Holy Spirit gives us that. Whenever we're hurting, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. Whenever we feel alone, the Holy Spirit is our friend. You know, I know this sounds horrible, and I don't mean it to sound horrible at all, but some of the most uplifting words that I've heard spoken have been at a funeral. It's sad. But you have all these people looking at you, looking for a way to get out of the pain and a way to get out of the hurting of the death that they've just had. That the preacher will get up there and start talking about things, and like everybody is just sitting there going, like they just can't believe it. Like, really? That's what God does? Has anybody ever been to a non-Christian funeral and sat there and watched people the way they act when the preacher gets up and starts quoting Bible verses and telling them that God's Spirit leads you in weakness, that if I can do anything through Christ? It starts sinking in. Sometimes the negative things that happen in your life will drive you closer to Christ. I have seen more people start coming to church, start believing in God due to a family member passing away because they want to have that peace. They want to have what everybody else has. You know, no matter where you go, our God is there. No matter what you do, God still loves you. No matter what happens in your life, He's still there for you. And His love never runs out. You can do something and He still will love you. That is the purpose of His love. But somebody's praying for you today and you don't want to be the negative person that's not praying for them as well. But sometimes we can be so worried about ourselves that we forget about other people. I'm guilty of it. Not gonna lie. I've done it. We've all done it. If you sit there and say you haven't done it, then you're lying in church, and that ain't good. Because we've all done it, right? We've had too many things going on at one time, and then something comes in that's kind of important, but you're too focused on your own problems to go out to the other side and worry about it. Because your job, you think, is to focus on my problems and my issues. And then sometimes everything else just kind of falls apart. You know, you don't want to like it, but there's something inside of you saying, I still want to believe that I am an optimist. Yes, there may be a lot of bad things going on in the world, but I still have a God who is bigger than the worst thing that I'm going through. It can't get much more real than that. That is real as what you can get. All the issues, all your troubles, all your pain, all your things. You know, I have a lot of people asking me, well, you know, I had two choices to make with Coltley. I had the choice to start chemo or to go the same route we've been going for the past year, which is IVIGs and steroids, you know. And this isn't even on my list. I don't know how I got on this. Okay, I had two choices. Okay, I had the chemo that was going to be, could be up to a year treatment, could knock out everything in his system and come back perfectly fine. Or I could continue IVIGs and steroids for the next 5 to 6 years, which he wouldn't have the effect of losing your hair. He wouldn't have the sickness. He wouldn't have all that. But we would be up there till he was 8. What's the quality of life? I have people judging me on my decision. I have people going, well, why would you do chemo? Why would that be your only resort? I'm like, well, it's a good thing it's not your decision to make. Yeah. It's not. But if I think I can cut off 4 years of treatments, I'm going to be willing to do that to a 2-year-old. By the way, this is a Christian that told me that. They can't figure out why I'm putting my son through this. You know, there's a point in time where you sit back and you think, my optimistic views are a thing of the past. You know, a couple weeks ago I preached on forgotten virtues. Believe it or not, being optimistic is a forgotten virtue. But in life, there are point times in our life where we are optimistic. We just switch it so fast that we go to pessimist and we forget that we're optimist. You know, God, Jesus was an optimist. If he wasn't an optimist, he wouldn't have been here. He would have just left it alone. Oh, they're doing fine down there. I don't need to go down there. You know, my question is, and if you look at the picture above us here, it says optimist that way, pessimist that way. If you look at the optimist, look at how nice it looks. I love mountains. I like the way the mountains look. But look at the other way. Because we have a choice. We can either look at things in a bad way and go that way, or we have the choice to look at it a different way. That sums up life right there to me. And it also signs, you know, if you want to follow God, let's go the way God wants us to go. So today as we close, I want you to remember that being an optimistic is what God truly wants. Okay? And being a pessimist, God will still help you. Even if you are a pessimist, it's not an end of the line. I'm not a Christ follower because I'm a pessimist. It's because we just got to pull you back over to the optimistic side. But it's okay because God can do that. It's not our job to do that. God will take care of that. Because why? Because on our weakest days, God is still strong. God is still the ultimate of our life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your presence. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word today. We thank you that out of one chapter of the Bible, I just pulled out 6 reasons to love you and be more like you. Lord, we pray that being an optimist is something that we are every day. And Lord, I pray that people notice that and hope that other people see it in me that I'm an optimist. Because, Lord, I know there's some times where I struggle and I'm not. I know it. The first part of doing it is knowing that I was wrong. Lord, but you are here to change my heart and you are here to change the way that we think things through and change the way that we do things, Lord. We're here for you and we're here to worship your name, Lord. And in Jesus' name, amen.